Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
And I'm Mark Martin. It's June 4th, 2015. That's hard to believe. Summer's just around the corner, Rick.
We're almost halfway through the year, Mark.
I don't know where it's going. I really don't. The time just goes by so fast. And friends, we're glad you're with us this evening. We're going to continue tonight in the book of John, the Gospel of John.
That's right.
We've missed a week or two, and I want to apologize for that. A lot of things are going on with Prophecies of Hope, and we'll be filling you in as time goes on to some of the events that are taking place. It's really exciting stuff, isn't it?
It is. Mark, you and I have been invited to a camp meeting, and I'd like all the listeners to know that we'd like to solicit your prayers on behalf of those people who've invited us to speak at a camp meeting out in Montana sometime in the fall.
It's a very important camp meeting, too, because we're going to be touching on some subjects that are sometimes very controversial in the Christian community.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we solicit your prayers and ask that you lift this ministry up to God on a regular basis. Mm. Is there any other announcements or anything,
well,
Mark?
Well, we want to thank New Visions Radio for giving us this opportunity.
Absolutely. Michael Knight has been so good to us.
Yes, he has. And we really appreciate him giving us this spot on New Visions Radio. Every Thursday night we're here at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. And it's really been a privilege to have that spot. We also want to invite people to go to our website. Right, Rick?
That's right. www.prophecyhope.com. And you can email me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can email me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you just want to make a general inquiry, you can email office@prophecyhope.com. I just want to make this comment that as soon as we're done with the Gospel of John, we are going to be studying a couple of chapters in the book of Revelation.
Mm.
We've had that request, and I think it would be a good thing to do. Also, we're going to ask a good friend of ours named Mark Hackley. I've talked with him. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come on, and we're going to take 1 hour, one of these evenings, after we do that study in Revelation, I believe, and have him. He's a songwriter and a singer, and he does a lot of Christian music, and he's written some really beautiful songs, hasn't he?
He has his own YouTube channel.
That's right, he does. He sure does. And so we want to have him here on the air. We're going to do it live, so we're really looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. His name is Mark Hackley.
Yes. So I guess we need to open with a word of prayer.
Okay, Mark. Heavenly Father, I ask and pray that you send your spirit to be with us this evening. We need your presence. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom and understanding to be able to know what your word is saying to us. And Father, we ask that the listeners also will have a sense of your presence with them as they listen to this radio program. Father, give our listeners a full measure of your wisdom. Father, we thank you for life and for help, that you are the one true God of the universe. And Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Mark, we're at John chapter 16, I believe. Isn't that correct?
Yes, we are. And this is actually part 16 in the study. It seems to kind of work out almost every week.
Yeah. When we get a chapter where there's a lot of discussion and a lot of meat, it seems like the next chapter we kind of make up for that.
Yeah, we do. We get a little long-winded sometimes. And the thing I want to remind the friends about is that this is not a comprehensive study. This is basically, we're just giving an overview, aren't we?
Yeah, it's amazing when you say that. In the first verse of John chapter 16, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be offended." So I think this is a great opportunity to remind our listeners that the chapters in the Bible were added after it was written.
That's right.
The chapters and verses were placed there so that we could find our place in modern versions of the Bible.
Sure, that's right.
So when John was writing this, there were no chapters and verses that he placed in there. So I don't know why the translators of the Bible thought it necessary to start another chapter on this particular sentence. It seems like an odd place.
Right. I don't know why they chose the order they did either.
Mm.
You know what I find it amazing is there's one place in the Gospels where Jesus actually stood up to read from one of the scrolls of the prophecy of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, you know, because of who he is, he knew exactly where to find that. And I'm thinking, you know, they didn't have the numbers like we do.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And they didn't have the pages like we do. It was on a scroll.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking in my mind, you know, Jesus, he just knew right where to go. He stood up and read and sat down, and he was talking about himself and that prophecy being fulfilled.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was just a side point that I always get a kick out of thinking about that.
Hey, that's when he said he came to preach liberty to the captives.
Yeah, he says, and this day this prophecy has been fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see why all eyes in the synagogue were on him at point.
Yeah. He surely did get the attention of the scribes and the Pharisees, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But your comment there, this does continue right in the middle of a thought. It's just the chapter happens to be divided there. Any thoughts before we continue?
I just want to review just a little bit. Mark, sure. I'm going to ask a question. What did Jesus speak? The first verse there says, "These things I have spoken to you, that you would not be offended." Well, what did he speak that they might be offended at?
Well, right, and if you look at verse 26, he says, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So I know the religious leaders were really upset because they thought that Jesus was making himself equal with the Father, and they were upset naturally about these things. But as far as your question about stumbling them.
Is that what your Bible says?
Yeah, it says here, "These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble." And what did yours say?
That you would not be offended.
Yeah, okay, it's the same thing, I would say.
Mm.
Because
I think, you know, within the context of when this is, just before Jesus is crucified, he's trying to give his disciples as many a heads up as he possibly can about the things that are going to happen.
Oh yeah, and they didn't think these things were going to happen.
Yeah, they
in
didn't
fact,
have
Peter
a clue.
Even said this isn't going. You're not going to have to do that, Lord.
Right.
Remember, and that's when Jesus actually said, "Get behind me, Satan."
Yeah, that's right. And Christ foretold that Peter would betray him three times before the night was over.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. So I guess for some people, these things were offensive. That maybe, you know, they would have to go through certain things, that they would have certain trials or tribulations coming upon them.
But in verse 2, he goes into some of these things that they might be offended at.
Yes.
Verse 2 says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service."
Hmm. Now, what's the reason for them putting them out of the synagogues?
I believe because they're preaching truth.
They're preaching the truth about the Father and his Son. And you know, this seems to be happening a lot of times even today.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to stick with the word of truth, if you want to stick to scripture instead of following church tradition, there are churches that get upset and offended over that.
You know, the disciples and the apostles, they were preaching that Christ was truly the Son of our Heavenly Father.
They understood completely who Christ was.
Right.
And he was concerned about that, and I believe we've talked about that in a previous program, that he asked, he wanted to know. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" He wanted to know what people were saying, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter was the one that said, you're Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
And then Jesus says, on this rock of truth, basically, is what he's saying, he's going to build his church.
That's right. Not on Peter.
Not on Peter.
Peter wasn't the first pope, as a lot of people would like to think.
No, and that's a whole nother study, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's something we need to address, because that question has come up in our Bible study a couple of times.
Oh, it has, hasn't it?
Yes.
Verse 3, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Here's the reason why.
Does this sound familiar to you?
Oh, it sounds very familiar to me, on a personal level.
Yeah. Me too.
"But these things I have told you," this is verse 4, "but these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart.
Any thought?
I think when you read through these things, you can understand that the disciples were confused about what Christ was saying.
Sure.
They had always thought pretty much that he was going to be crowned or may be crowned king of the Jewish nation.
Yeah.
And here he is saying that that's not going to happen. They're going to kill him.
Not at that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not at that time. And I think a lot of people were very disappointed. Weren't they in captivity to the Romans, sort of, at this time? And they expected him to release them. They thought that he was going to come and rule as king and release them from their bondage. Well, he did. But he didn't release them at that time from their bondage.
Well, I think he released them from their bondage of the penalty of sin.
Yes. But they were thinking of a right now, you know, how can you help benefit me right this minute? Well, the thing is, he was benefiting them at that moment.
You know, I think this is an important point. We don't always understand the spiritual application of what God is trying to tell us. Mm. You know, we take a look at the tangible, material things that are happening around us all the time. Maybe God has a different plan. And, you know, I've seen that personally in my life over and over again.
Yeah, I have too. It's amazing. A lot of times the things that we think they should work out a certain way. And in the grand scheme of things, when we look back and they didn't work the way we wanted them to, it was so much better the way they worked out.
Yes, I agree. So verse 7 is pretty important, Mark. You want to go ahead and read that?
It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper..." Mine says helper. Does yours say helper there?
No, mine says comforter.
Comforter, that's more accurate. Mm. "The comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you."
Now remember, in chapter 14, we read Jesus' words. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless."
Right.
"I will come to you." And that's chapter 14 and verse 18.
Right.
So we understand who this comforter is. This is the Spirit of Christ. This is his personal presence, even though his physical presence would be in heaven.
In fact, if you have any questions about this topic, if you go to the website, prophecyhope.com, and you go to additional messages, you will find the most recent sermon posted there as of now, which is June the 4th, 2015. It's called "If You Love Me, Keep My Commandments." And Rick, you gave a really good and very informative sermon on that topic where you give many verses to support what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Go to the website and watch that if this is something that's different or maybe you're not quite understanding where we're coming from.
You see, Christ understood that it was going to be good for them if he were to go back to his Father and be in heaven. Mm. Because then, instead of being just in his physical form,
right,
he would have a glorified form and be able to be omnipresent through his Spirit.
Yes.
At that point, then he could be not only with them but inside their hearts and minds, so to speak.
Right. You know, there are some that believe that Christ has lost his omnipresence.
You know, I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah,
I find either. That nowhere in Scripture. In fact, just the opposite. And I'm skipping ahead one chapter.
Okay.
Because in John chapter 17, Christ asks for the glory that he had with the Father before the beginning of the world.
That's right. He does.
And we know, in fact, Mark, I talked to you this morning on the phone about a text I came across. I think maybe it was noontime today. And I think this is a good time to share that.
Sure.
That Christ had an omnipresent spirit in Old Testament times.
Yes, you did share that.
And that's, if my memory serves correctly, it's 1 Peter chapter 1. And I think it's verse 10, maybe 11.
All right.
Let's see if we can find that.
Oh, you know, I have that underlined in my Bible. It is verse 11. Starts in verse 10, doesn't it?
It does start in verse 10, yes.
It says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow.
So it's a little confusing, but it's telling us that Christ's Spirit was in the prophets in Old Testament times.
Yeah, that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
And evidently, Peter had understanding of this.
I think he had a lot better understanding when Christ returned as the another comforter to him.
Right.
And this is when he put the pen to paper, so to speak, mm-hmm. and wrote these gospels.
Yeah, very true. So let's see, where were we? We just read verse 7, is that right, of chapter 16?
I believe so.
Yeah, so verse 8 says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment."
Now, let me stop you right there. Let's not get confused. Jesus is not talking about another person. He's just speaking in the third person. Like when he uses the term Son of Man over and over again.
Right,
the Son when of he Man. Uses the phrase Comforter, he's speaking about himself.
Yes.
Who else would we want to comfort us but Jesus himself?
Yeah, that's a great point.
And, you know, this text is a proof text for that because basically we understand that Jesus is the one God has set up to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment because all judgment, Jesus said himself,
has been given to him
by his Father.
Yeah, that's right.
So this couldn't be anyone else but Jesus.
Right. That's right. So let's read that again. I'm going to read it again because the thought continues. It says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I will have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now."
Do you have any thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, you know, just this comment in verse 12 about, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." I think it's this way with many things. There are things that I have learned recently, and when I say recently, I'm talking about over the last couple of years, that if I would have heard them 10 or 15 years ago, they wouldn't have had an impact on me. I wouldn't have been able to handle them, maybe. It might have been discouraging. Or it might have sent me in the wrong direction. So I understand what he's saying. You know, I have things to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. Now's not the time.
It's interesting that he says, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." He's talking about the spiritual presence of himself.
Right.
Okay. He's going to be physically present in heaven, but his spiritual presence, his omnipresence, is going to be with the disciples. And think about it. If you welcome the Spirit of Christ into your heart and mind, if you pray,
right,
"I want Jesus with me," that allows God to use the Spirit of Christ to teach you things that without that would be almost impossible. Hmm. There's an understanding that we can have in a spiritual sense that is much deeper than things that we see or touch.
Right. Yeah.
And I think this is why in verse 7 that Christ said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away." It's good for them that he is going to physically leave them so he can be glorified and return to them in a spiritual sense.
Yeah, because this way too, he can benefit everyone.
Yeah,
anyone who accepts him.
Right. He's not limited by his physical space.
Right. That's right.
Physical presence. And think about the millions of people across the globe today, maybe billions of people, if they would just pray the prayer to our Father to have the Spirit of Christ in their hearts. Make the world a different place, I think.
It would. If they sincerely ask, then they will receive.
So verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come."
Didn't Jesus say, "I speak not of my own self,
That's
but
right.
my Father speaks"?
Yes. I speak of him who sent me.
Right.
Yeah. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. Now, to me, this means the very life of Christ. What Christ stands for, which is obviously what the Father stands for in character.
That's true.
All things that the Father has are mine, verse 15. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Any comment?
I think that the reason that he can say this is because the Father has given him all authority. He's given him everything. He received his name from his Father. He receives his authority from his Father. He receives judgment from his Father.
Even his very life.
Yeah. His very existence.
Mm-hmm. Proof text for that is John 5:26.
Let's
As
take a
the
look.
Father has life in himself.
I believe that's it. So has
so
he given.
So has he given the Son to have life in himself.
Yeah, that's what it says. And it shows that there is a source, which is the Father. We can't, again, friends, and you know, we say this a lot, but it's because the opposite is being said a lot in many denominations and by many Christians. The Father and the Son are equal in nature. They're equal in purpose and even their substance. They're of the same substance. But this equality that he has been given to Christ. There is a source. He's not co-eternal, as a lot of people have been taught. He has a source, which is the Father.
There's another proof text for that, and it's this in this same Gospel of John. It is chapter 6 and verse 57.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and read that, Mark.
Sure.
It says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
Yeah, mine says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of a text in Galatians where Paul says that he lives by Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Oh, yeah. Yours translates that appropriately.
Yeah, there is a hierarchy that comes to us as human beings. It comes from this life of the Father is given to us through Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. It's the way God has manifested himself to us. It's through his Son.
That's right. You know, right there where yours talks about in verse 20, the King James says, I now live in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God.
Yes.
Mine says in.
Oh, wow.
It's a big difference there.
Yeah, it is.
You know, that little two-letter word changes the meaning. Because having the faith of the Son of God, that's what got Christ through all of the temptations that he had here on the earth.
Yeah, I agree. That's his gift to us.
Right.
If we invite him into our hearts and minds.
Right. That's right. So, where were we, Rick? I always say I want to mark it, and I never do.
Okay.
Verse 16. That's where we're picking it up. It says, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father.
You
that
see,
sounds like it, double talk, doesn't it?
A little bit, but if we understand that Christ is the Comforter.
Right. It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense.
It does. So then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father? They were confused.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand it, just as the majority of people don't understand it today.
Right.
Verse 18. They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. So, you know, I find it, I think it's awesome that you have these men who walked with Jesus, that knew him, that spent time with him, at least a couple of years, maybe 3 years or more. and they were confused, and they weren't afraid to say, you know, what's he talking about? Today we live in a society where everybody has to know everything, it seems. We're afraid to ask, especially if you're in a religious setting a lot of times. People don't ask. They assume, or they take it. Well, he said it, that's just the way it is. They don't look into it. But they wanted to know, what is he talking about? What does he really mean?
Hmm.
And so these are the things that when we don't understand, we have to dig for them. You know, we need to seek
truth. I agree.
You want to continue in verse 19?
Yes. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Surely, surely, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now he explains a little bit further in verse 23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Surely, surely, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you.
So it seems that in this verse, in this verse 23, that he's saying we should be praying to the Father in the name of Christ Jesus.
Yeah, but I don't want to miss exactly what's going on
right
here. He understands that the disciples are confused about him being crucified, being resurrected, going back to his Father, being glorified during that time. And that same afternoon, he comes back and he breathes on them the Holy Spirit. In other words, God gives him the glory. God gives him the glory that he had previous to his incarnation here on this earth, which allows Christ again to be omnipresent through his Spirit. Yeah. So he gives that gift, the Comforter, his presence, his power, Christ's presence, Christ's power, back to the disciples. And it's just a beautiful thing, because he's saying they're going to be sorrowful, but they'll be joy. Their sorrow is going to be turned to joy because they'll have Christ in their hearts and minds at that point.
Mm. Very good.
So in verse 23, Christ is talking about... In that day you shall ask me nothing. That's because Christ is going to reside in their hearts. They are going to approach the Father, because when the Father looks at them, or us for that matter, if we have Christ in our hearts, he sees the righteousness of Christ.
Right.
That's why we're praying in Christ's name.
So it should, it's not just that these words have power. There's a reason for doing that.
There's a reason, because Christ is our mediator.
Right. That's right.
We wouldn't want to pray in anyone else's name to the Father, would we?
No, we wouldn't. Any other thought here?
No, I don't think so. If you want to continue reading.
Let's see, where are we? Verse 24, I believe. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, up until this point, they haven't prayed to the Father in Jesus' name. They haven't had the Spirit of Christ inside them to be able to pray in the Father's name. That's my understanding. Hmm.
Okay. What about the text that we just read in 1 Peter, where it was talking about the Spirit and the prophets? Was that not in them?
Well, I think it was, but remember, Christ said, I'm going to send you another Comforter.
Right.
Okay. Christ is truly becoming our high priest when he dwells inside of us.
Okay.
Okay. He didn't take on the role of the high priest until after the earthly sanctuary services were done and complete at his sacrifice of the cross.
Right.
So now we can pray in his name. He is our high priest to our Heavenly Father, our only mediator. So now they can pray in Christ's name.
We can
pray in Christ's name. And the mediator is here inside of us.
Right.
But his physical presence is in heaven.
Very good. Yeah, very well put. And I hope this makes sense to the listener. I mean, that's simplified very well, Rick. I appreciate the way you put that.
Well, praise the Lord for that. But verse 25 mm-hmm. It's very important, because we've been able to see the confusion that the disciples have had. And here's the reason why. Verse 25 says, "These things have I spoken to you in Proverbs." So Christ is not being completely open with them. He's using the third person language.
Right.
And he's speaking to them in Proverbs. He says, but he continues, "But the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." And he's talking about his spiritual presence being in their minds, removing the proverb, so to speak.
Well, this says Christ. Mine says figurative language.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to you by figurative language.
I think when we have Christ dwelling in us and speaking to us, speaking to our minds and our hearts, I'm not so sure that he uses figurative language. That's what he did when he was here on the earth.
Right. I've heard people sometimes say that they've heard the voice of God, and mm-hmm. I don't doubt that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I've had some very, very strong feelings about some things. I've shared some of those with you. When I came to the understanding that Jesus wasn't created, that he was begotten, it was something in my mind that said, what's this verse say, this specific verse? And that is what revealed it to me when I found that verse, Daniel 2:45.
See, I believe that when that happened to you, Mark, I believe the Father was giving that information to the Son, and the Son, through his Spirit, was impressing that on your mind.
Yeah, I believe that.
You didn't hear an audible voice.
No, I didn't. Now, there may be some who do. I don't doubt that. I really don't. I mean, it's never happened to me, and I'm not saying that it can't happen. But, no, I've never heard an audible voice like that, although I do talk to myself sometimes. But, no, it was very, very strong feeling, and I actually pulled my truck over and got my Bible out and read that verse, and I instantaneously almost came to a much clearer understanding of things.
Well, praise the Lord for that.
It's amazing.
And that's the power of Christ if we listen to him in our hearts and minds.
That's it. Mm. That's it. Let me see. Are we ready to move on?
Verse 26.
Yep. It says, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father."
Now, let me just make this point one more time. When we accept Jesus Christ as our comforter, mm-hmm. okay, that means that we have the mediator himself, in a spiritual sense, living in our hearts and minds. We can come directly to the Father because of the mediation of right. Christ in our body temple.
That's
really.
Right. That's right. In other words, you know, Adam and Eve, we believe, had a direct relationship with the Father prior to sin.
Mm-hmm.
So because of what Christ has done for us, in a spiritual sense, we are approaching the Father directly.
Yes.
Because of Christ.
And I believe that is what "in Jesus' name" actually means.
Okay.
That we accept him who he is, our comforter, our mediator.
Okay. And what his goal is to get us back to the relationship that Adam and Eve had, where we won't need Christ as mediator anymore, because we'll be right there with the Father and with the Son.
I believe you're right. I believe the Father wants to have direct contact with his creation. Yeah.
He wants to restore everything to the way it was. "I am making all things new." So he's restoring what he had in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but with many people instead of just Adam and Eve. But his goal was that they would procreate and have children that would follow his direction. and worship him the way they should. All right. So verse 29, you want to pick it up there?
Sure. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Then he goes into a prayer in the very next chapter.
Very important prayer.
Yeah.
You know, I find it interesting that in Christ we have peace. And Jesus is going to explain that in the next chapter, because he's going to say, Father, I want them to be in us like we are in each other. That's what he's going to say to his father.
We have time. We might as well continue in chapter 17, unless you want to close out 16 with a couple of thoughts. Or do you want ready to move along?
No, I think we can move on.
Okay.
I think we need to take the time and the chance to continue with this important study about the comfort.
Because the momentum is going now.
It is.
And these are coming to some very critical moments in the life of Christ and his disciples.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here we go. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
That's a powerful text.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, there's no confusion in this text. We know who the Father is. He's a loving creator God who is the Father of all creation. He's the Father of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And we know that Jesus is his Son.
Yes.
And because the Father is fully divine, the Son is fully divine, let's not be confused about that. But you know, the concept of God that most churches and denominations have today just obliterate this relationship.
Yes, they do.
In fact, there's some denominations call it a mysterious relationship.
Yeah, they do.
What could be more simple than what God has shown us in his own creation?
Yeah.
Father and Son.
He created man in his image.
Yeah, it's just baffling to me. You know, but I used to believe in a confusing concept of God.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that I used to believe that.
You know, there are things that I've believed in the past too, Rick, that I say, how in the world did I believe that? But I grew up with it.
Yeah, and I grew up that way too. And I think that's the problem. I didn't take the time to study it. Right. I just accepted what the pastors and the preachers and the
a lot of times what our parents
Sunday school teachers were telling us, right?
Right. So John 17:3, you have a completely different understanding of this today than you did, say, 5 or 6 years ago.
I wouldn't even know what this text would mean 5 or 6 years ago. But now it's so plain.
Yeah. You want to continue in verse 4?
Sure. Jesus is praying still. Verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
That's the text you were quoting earlier.
Yes. I mean, Jesus is asking for the full, I don't know how to put it, the full omnipresent spirit that his Father has.
Yes. In other words, what Jesus had when he was the begotten Son of God in heaven, he came here to this earth. He was born of a woman, and he wants to go back to the same exact ability mm-hmm. or authority that he had before.
Now, let's think this through a little bit. Christ came to give us an example, right? He wanted to let us know that through the power of the Father, we could live sinless lives if we truly choose that.
I believe that. I know a lot of Christians balk at that. They think, no, it's impossible.
Well, it's impossible for you and I, Mark. It's impossible for anybody on their own. But this is what Jesus came to prove, that he didn't rely on his own power.
He relied
on his Father's power.
That's it.
So he had to give up anything that would have been an extraordinary benefit to him, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
And if he would have been able to be omnipresent through his own spirit, that probably would have benefited him a lot.
Sure it would. In fact, he gave up wanting to do, you know, he'll pray it here in just a little bit, not my will but yours.
Mm.
He gave up his own will to do the will of his Father.
Because
as a human, I think he was feeling his humanity.
I see what you mean. As a human, he wanted
to
do his own.
He felt the weakness of the flesh.
Right.
But he didn't give in to it.
Mm.
He felt the weakness of the flesh, but he didn't let it get
him. Praise the Lord for that.
Yes. So what verse?
I can't remember where we were there.
You read verse 5, getting the glory back that he had before the world was.
Yes.
Okay, verse 6. You want to continue?
I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, I'm all mixed up.
That's hard to read in the King James.
Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word.
Okay.
Does the New King James yeah. Is the New King James any clearer than that?
You want me to read that in English?
Yes, please.
Okay, here's what it says. And it's the same thing. You just have to understand how they're speaking. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word.
Okay. Pretty simple.
It's interesting to me in John chapter 17 how many times Jesus uses the word you have given or you gave me. I mean, I circled that years ago in my Bible, and I'm just seeing it. Almost every verse, he says something about you giving me, the Father giving him something.
That's a loving Father giving good gifts to his Son.
It is.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, so many people will say, well, that was when he was a human. He gave all those things to him when he was a human. But not verse 5, because he says that you had given me that before, the glory that you had given me before.
Yeah, that's right. Well, why do we read into Scripture things that aren't there?
I think that we're just going, again, by the things that we've always been taught.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to imagine that how could these pastors of the church and these theologians be wrong about these things?
Mm-hmm.
And I always go back to this, Rick. If we were to look at the scribes and Pharisees, they were the pastors and theologians of Jesus' day.
That's
in the
right.
Synagogue.
Yeah.
Were they not wrong?
They were wrong.
About his presence, about who he was, about mm-hmm. his identity.
Yep.
So why couldn't that be today? And the men that Jesus chose, for the most part, were simple men. They were men who had regular jobs, who did things that the common men do.
Yeah, I want to make this one point also. These men were not what we might say predestined by God to do this.
No.
God chose these men because of something in their hearts. In other words, if you want to do God's will, if you want to be right on God's side, have his righteousness, he's going to find a way to make that happen in your life.
Amen.
And God chooses people after he reads their hearts. That's my understanding.
Yeah, I understand it that way too. In other words, he never takes that freedom from you. If you choose to go a different direction, he's not going to force you to worship him and stay one of his people.
He didn't even force Satan.
No, he didn't.
Lucifer in heaven became Satan. And he Lucifer had choices.
Yeah.
God didn't take those away.
No, he didn't. And I don't think that he ever will. Even when we get to the kingdom of heaven, we'll still have that freedom. But I don't think we're going to want to go the other way. Because we will have seen all of this proof. We will have seen all of the evidence. Why would we want to go a different way at that point?
Yeah. Now, if we can just learn to go God's way here.
That's difficult sometimes.
It is.
Yeah. At least for me. Did we read verse 8 yet?
For I have given unto them the words which you gave unto me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that you did send me.
Hmm. Yeah, mine says that I came forth from you.
Hmm.
That goes right along with Proverbs 8, 22 through 30, doesn't it?
Yes. Daniel 2, 45.
Yeah. Yeah, Micah 5, 2.
That's right. Friends, you can look these up on your own.
Yeah.
They're about the coming forth of Christ from his Father in eternity past. Mm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
Where are we?
Verse 9.
Verse 9.
Yeah.
I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. What does your Bible say there in verse 10?
It says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So, in other words, you know, if we look at the pattern that God has given, and the Father and the Son, and then we look at the husband and the wife.
Interesting.
If a wife has a child, is that not the husband's child?
Yes, it is.
So what's hers is his, and what's his is hers.
That's exactly right. Wow.
So we're talking about people here on the earth, God's children. So if we're God's children, we're children of Christ.
That's true.
And if they're his, they're the Father's.
Wow. I never thought of it like that.
So verse 11. You know, I'm such a simpleton, I've got to make it simple like that. This is the way my brain works. Verse 11 says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I had come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in what sense are we talking about being one?
Wow. There's five sermons there.
There are.
You know, what comes to my mind immediately is Adam and Eve were one in the Garden of Eden.
That's exactly
right.
But
they were two separate people.
They were. God said the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean one person. They were distinct. But yeah, I think that when we look at they may be one as we are, you know, the Father and the Son, they are of what we could say of one mind, even though they're distinct individuals. You know what I mean when I say of one mind?
Yeah, because we can be one mind with our spouses.
Yes.
Okay, so we're one in purpose. We're one in a direction,
sure.
So to speak.
Right.
There's a unity, or there should be a unity.
There should.
In a good marriage, there is always good unity.
Yes.
In other words, we're on the same page.
Yes, exactly. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In mm-hmm. other words, that his people, the people who follow him, are going to be working for the same goals that he worked for. And he was all about helping others and teaching others the gospel message. Isn't
that's
that what
right.
we should be doing?
Absolutely.
He continues on, though, in verse 12. This is quite a prayer. Did you want to continue there?
You know, it's interesting that Jesus is still here on this earth. He's praying in front of his disciples.
Yes.
But he's actually saying that he's not in the world anymore.
Ah, so he's speaking kinda, again.
It's almost a prophetic thing,
right.
But at the same time, he knows what God has promised, and he knows that a promise of God cannot be broken.
That's right.
So we keep going.
Yes. Verse 12.
Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He must be talking about Judas there.
son of perdition. Yeah, it seems that way. Mm-hmm. Now, there's another time it talks about perdition in the Bible, but I don't think now's the time to get into it.
Okay. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Hmm. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify through them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hmm.
That's interesting, because Jesus is the word,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus is the truth.
Yes, he is. And we're sanctified by Jesus.
Yeah. So that's really neat when you stop and think about it.
It all fits together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. It does. So verse 18 says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. He is also, we said he's the truth. He sanctifies us. So what's he mean when he says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself?
In other words, I take this to mean that Christ has remained faithful to God throughout his entire life.
Yes.
The choices that he has made through his Father's power have allowed him to be sanctified.
Okay.
That's the way I take it. And he does it, he says, for them. That's you and me.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we're right here at verse 20, which mine has a paragraph marker there. There's only six verses. We've got about 2 minutes left. Let's read them. Unless you want to read them?
Yeah, go ahead and read through it, Mark.
Okay. Verse 20 of chapter 17 says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Wow. That's pretty interesting.
Pretty powerful. We're going to have to come back to this next week.
We have to revisit this next week, just briefly. It says, and the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world.
Mm.
O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them.
Mm.
Wow, I wish we had time to go into that. But well, you've got about a minute.
It's a great segue into next week's program. And I ask listeners, if you're interested in Christ's prayer, please join us again next week. And we'll come right back. We'll start again in verse 20. We need to remember that, Mark.
Yes, I will remember that. In fact, you know, we will not be doing a program next week, Rick, because you're going to be out of town taking care of some things with your sister-in-law.
That's right.
Who's very sick. So, but friends, we will have a program to run next week, and we will be back in 2 weeks live right here on the air, and we'll address this then. Also, we want to remind you, if you have any questions, please feel free to send them in. We're happy to try to answer those from God's Word. And anything else, Rick?
No, it was a great program, Mark.
Yes, let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible, for your Son, the Word, that you sent here to this earth to die on our behalf. Father, please be with us until we come together again. Please guide and direct those who have listened to this program. Help them to have understanding. And Father, we pray that until we come together again, that we can do your will and think of you each and every day. Thank you for every gift you have given us. We say this prayer and ask for your blessing and for your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, friends, we want to thank you for tuning in, and we hope to see you actually live 2 weeks from tonight. And anything else, Rick?
I don't think so.
All right. So we thank you again, and until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.